My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. I've lived long enough to learn that our intimate relationships, even in our golden years, require a conscious effort by both partners. These efforts include open-hearted and honest communication, recognizing each other for who we are and what we bring to the partnership, kindness, and compassion. With the COVID-19 pandemic and the public health challenges it presents, many couples find themselves spending more time together in isolation. Relationship issues that were present before this crisis may be exacerbated by this forced togetherness, including arguing, anxiety, and stress. What may couples of all ages do to get through this together, find deeper intimacy and mutual support, and strengthen their bond in this topsy-turvy world? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, intimacy expert and author Alana Pratt, joins us to share her insight on the top mistakes that most commonly destroy conscious relationships in today's climate. Alana Pratt is a go-to authority for those who have suffered heartbreak and are ready to live unapologetically and attract an open-hearted, ideal relationship. A certified coach with nearly 5 million viewers on YouTube, Alana offers private, group, and online coaching programs for singles and couples to help her clients develop a healthy, intimate relationship with themselves first, which naturally attracts and enhances their ideal partnerships. This Ivy League grad is the author of 6 books and hosts the edgy podcast Intimate Conversations. She's been chosen as an icon of influence, is a columnist for the Good Men Project, and has been featured in HuffPo, People Magazine, and Forbes, and on CBS, TLC, ABC, and Fox, and The Jenny McCarthy Show. Her website is alanapratt.com, and she joins me this week to share her wisdom and also discuss her new book, Finding the One is BS, Becoming the One is Brilliant and Beautiful. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Alana Pratt. Good evening, Alana.
Oh, good evening, Victor. I'm just radiating with smiles over here. Your enthusiasm mixed with your groundedness, and I can sense your heart already. I'm so pleased and honored to be here. Thank you.
And thank you for spending this wonderful time with us and sharing these important messages for our listeners. So when we first welcome a guest to Destination Unlimited, we ask them to share their path with our listeners. And from reading your story, I've learned that the relationship wisdom that you share with others was wisdom born of pain. Please share your story.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I didn't go to school to be an intimacy expert. In fact, I went to school in New York, to Columbia, for art history. But what actually got me on the path of being an intimacy expert was, I guess we could call it being a hot mess. Like, I was looking for help. I had 2 divorces, and the only one in common was me. And my sweet parents did their best to love me and teach me a way to thrive in a relationship, but they divorced as well. And so when I guess I'll sort of back up a smidge. I'm from Canada, and I first left when I was 19 on my Uncle Phil's 18-wheeler semi over the border and down to LA to make it in Hollywood. And I failed, but I had courage. I had talent. And eventually I got a job over in Japan as a dancer, as a model, as an English teacher, as a spokesperson, etc. And that's the first relationship that gave me wisdom, was I fell in love with a tall, dark, and handsome multimillionaire expat from Wall Street who was over there. And I thought, oh my God, somebody with money, somebody safe, somebody who could provide wants me. I never asked me. I just thought, oh my God, somebody finally chose me. So I was very much in that insecure damsel in distress, looking for my safety outside of me, looking for my worth outside of me. And so he didn't do anything wrong. I was still quite immature spiritually. And that relationship, we were married and together for about 6 years. And as I grew in my spirituality, the box that I'd signed up to stay inside was too small. And we began to argue just about things where I wanted more of a voice, I wanted more expression, or I wanted more depth or more sacredness around our sexuality. And I would end up like hiding in closets to meditate because that was strange. And by the time we got out to Los Angeles and his job transferred and I graduated from Columbia, there was this place called Agape with Michael Beckwith. And I'm like, oh my God, I met my people. And I began to be farther and farther apart from him. So while we tried therapy and workshops, etc., the sacred contract, I guess you could say, was over. I learned what I needed to learn. There was no blame involved, but I was quite young and naive, and I was growing into more of a spiritual woman. And so we blessed and released each other. Next husband came on the scene when my mother was dying of cancer. Now, I wish I could say to you, Victor, that I really grew a lot, but not really. It was really the other side of the same coin. The old side was damsel in distress, but the new side was like masculine. I'm in charge. I got this. Disneyland love is stupid. Like, I'm in charge. Let's just find a man. A man is a plan. Let's just have a baby. Then it won't hurt that your mom died. And so I went about that relationship with my heart closed, terrified. My mom was really my best friend, pretty much the only one that really has ever seen me and understood me all the way to the core. And I was losing her. So I didn't lean into the pain. I didn't grow up. I just sort of tried the masculine way. And of course, we all know how that one ended. It ended in divorce as well, single, motherless mom. And then I'm like, okay, I'm on my knees. The only one in common here is me. And unfortunately, because I had my heart closed, we all know from science that you attract your like vibration. So I attracted a man whose heart was closed as well. And it didn't go over so well when I divorced him. From his point of view, I humiliated him. And he wanted revenge. So it was about an on and off 12-year custody battle. And in the end, I relinquished most of my custodial time with our son just to create peace and let go and take the high road, but not after suffering through an extensive amount of humiliation, blame, my family turning against me, friends showing up, against me in court. It was awful. And in the end, not being able to see my son as much as I wanted either, and losing my house, going into $250,000 of legal debt. I was not a happy camper, right? This for all of you incredibly aware people out there who do the conscious work. We all know that our gifts are found, in the shadow. That, how is this for me, not against me? That's when the deep work that I've created this, and how is this for me? And what I realized is that girl that still needed all her safety and approval from others, that had to end. And because I lost the house and the money and the looking good and even having my son around, there was nowhere left to go but inside. And the good news is eventually, it took a while, but eventually all of those wobbly parts of Alana, the ones I didn't want anyone to see, I learned how to first allow her, stop judging her, and then love her, and then love her unconditionally. And that, I'm sure all of you have had your different moments of oneness with the universe, but that was my first real big oneness moment when I finally brought all of my little wobbly parts home. I was in a cabin in the middle of nowhere, just like a controlled nervous breakdown. I just left and I found me. And instantaneously when I found me, I found the universe and had a direct experience with my true nature, from which I've never recovered, thank God. And now I'm able to hold that safe, non-judgmental space with my clients who have been through their version of hell, and bringing them home to the heaven within that then gets reflected into a new life that they create.
Absolutely. There's an old line from a Moody Blues song from 1970 called Question, written by Justin Hayward. And there's a line in there that says, when you stop and think about it, you won't believe it's true. that all the love you've been giving has all been meant for you.
Thank you. Yes, I'm 50, but I still know Moody Blues, and I love that. I got shivers.
Absolutely. When did you make the decision to become a coach to others, and how did this manifest?
Thank you. So after the first divorce, and we moved from New York City to Los Angeles, and I started going to Agape, I also started to go to Landmark Education, and I took all the different courses, and I became a self-expression and leadership head coach of various programs. So that sort of became the first coaching, but that was all volunteer. And then I got a divorce, and it was, I had a visa now. I could work in the States. So it was up to me to generate income. So that's when I started to be a relationship coach in general. Then I was on Lisa Gibbons' radio show as the sexy mom expert. So I was really drawn to support other single moms in how to find their mojo, their patience, their playfulness, and the pleasure in life, taking care of themselves, not the guilt trip when the child went to spend half the time with the father, you know, really use that as a time to fill ourselves up. So I did that for a while. And then I realized, in general, moms spend on kids way before they spend on themselves. And while this has always been a place in my heart, it wasn't the best business model. And I learned that people that really want relationships, really have had a pattern of it not working out, are willing to invest time, energy, and money into healing this pattern. And so that's when I shifted more towards intimacy than just relationships or moms to support people. And it's just, Victor, like every lesson I needed is what the universe gave me. So first I coached more women, single women. And then when I was getting quite bitter, we're in year 5, 6, 7, 8 of the custody battle, and men are looking pretty awful to me, and I'm pretty close to being a bitter, horrible woman. The universe started to give me a lot of men to coach, single men to coach. And I'm like, oh, men are beautiful. Their hearts are wounded just like women's hearts are wounded. So then I started to coach more men. And then as I became more successful in relationships myself and coaching others, then the couples began to come to me. But the through line, at least for the last 10 years, has been intimacy, not bound-chicka-bound-bound intimacy, sex intimacy, although sex is awesome. It's more about, for me, intimacy is about vulnerability and transparency and being honest, first with ourself, keeping our heart open to ourself so that we can keep our heart open and receive redemption. We can receive miracles. We can receive our healing from the universe as well. And then from that place of overflow and wholeness, we can give that to a beloved.
Absolutely. You talked about all the universe opening to you and bringing you all these opportunities. And I've lived the life of synchronicity, so I know exactly what you're talking about. We've discussed this on the show before. Have you noticed that synchronicity, you have two options when an opportunity presents itself? You can either pay attention to it and resonate with it and move with it, or disregard it, and your path will continue either way.
Your path will get worse, actually, don't you think? Yes, I totally agree. I love the point of view, and not just the intellectual or, you know, cognitive point of view that the universe is always for me, never against me. I love the real embodiment of that. Like when something really uncomfortable is coming and you can have a little bit of humor about it, you're like, really? This is for me? And you lean in and you sit in the fire and you discover, oh my, this really is. The trust in the universe and the trust in yourself that I can handle anything. I can keep my heart open in the face of anything allows, I believe, for even more synchronicities, coincidences to come, and that you really can savor and sink your teeth into any experience and get the lesson, the wisdom. So yeah, I'm totally in
agreement. Amen. Amen. 100%. I agree with you. You've authored 6 books, including Finding the One is BS, which we'll discuss a little later. Please tell us about your earlier books and what birthed them.
Yeah, well, the first one was How to Be and Stay Sexy, Getting the Love and Attention You Deserve, Being Exactly Who You Are, because that's exactly what I didn't do when I was first dating. I was, you know, do you like me? Do you think I'm sexy? Will you date me? Will you marry me? It was all that safety and approval, as I was mentioning before, from the outside in, that made me pretzel myself into somebody I wasn't, say yes when I meant no, not speak up and just go with the program. I really lost myself. And so this book was really bringing us back to falling in love with ourselves, and that our own version of sexy is very, very sacred. And that when we see our bodies as divine temples and our sexual energy as sacred, the very same energy that births you know, a star or blossoms a flower or creates the idea for this podcast. Or I think I'd like to wear red today, not blue, or a little lip gloss or whatever it is, like this aliveness, that's sacred sexual energy. We don't ever have to turn off that creative life force sexual chi ever. And it allows for radiance, vitality, youthfulness. And I believe it's very attractive to our ideal partner. So that was one of the first books I wrote. And then when I started to move more into, oh my God, men aren't evil after all.
Then, thank you.
Yes. I read, How to Be a Noble Badass. And, you know, Cure the Nice Guy and Awaken Your Masculine Grandeur. Because what I realized from a lot of the male clients is that they may never have had a mom or a girlfriend or a wife that saw their grandeur, that didn't judge them, that even if they came home and had lost their job, you know, and she was scared, she wouldn't shut her heart down and blame. She would open her heart and sit in the fire and be that soft place for him to land and have compassion, that there was this capacity that, you know, men can awaken men, obviously in ways that I can't, but there's a flavor that a conscious feminine can awaken in a conscious masculine, and it's magic. And even though obviously I'm not my male client's girlfriend, but that sacred sexual energy is more from like a divine feminine place where I would see their grandeur and something in them would wake up. And I said, oh my goodness, what if I could teach women how to be this for men, or even teach mothers how to be this for their sons? Because sacred sexual energy isn't just bow chicka bow bow, as I was saying, it's very healing. It's very caring. It's very tender. It's very nourishing. And to let that energy flow. So that birthed the book for men.
And what was the next one after that?
Oh my goodness. Okay. When Mama's Happy, Everybody's Happy. Yes. That was another one I wrote because I realized that I didn't have to be a victim, that I didn't see my son half the time. And I didn't need to say, I miss you. Your mom, like, don't guilt trip him. Let him have a great time with his dad. Celebrate that. And all the ways that we can, you know, they always say put in your own oxygen mask first, right? But how many of the moms really do that? And they almost start to wear the badge of, I'm more exhausted than you. Oh, well, you're that exhausted. Well, let me tell you my story about being exhausted. It's almost like a badge to be depleted, which is exactly the opposite of what it requires to make us feel playful, give us the sense of presence, the sense of patience, the ability to have pleasure in the smallest things. And so I really enjoyed my single mom time. And I really enjoyed the creativity that I had saying, okay, we're going to paint ourselves like Cirque du Soleil dancers and run around the backyard this weekend. Or, okay, we're going to have dinner in the driveway. Get the blankets, get the pillows, get the matching game. Yes, we're going to eat our mac and cheese under the main table in the house by flashlight with our fingers and make a mess. Like all the fun things we did came from me filling my tank up first. And giving from the overflow.
Absolutely. And prior to finding The One Is BS, what was your last book?
The last one, and I'm in there actually reworking some of that as well. There's another one for, oh my God, I can't even remember all my books, Victor. I think there's another one for men in there, but I can't remember. But there's another one that I'm retitling. It used to be called 7 Steps to Manifest Your Beloved While Staying True to Yourself, and it's still a good one. But I'm redoing that now that I've launched a dating app, and it's going to be called Manifesting Your Heartmate While Staying True to Yourself. Because I've learned a lot about heart coherence, a lot about science. I'm kind of a geek. I love to interview quantum, you know, psychologists and scientists on my show. So I really want to help people understand it's not always a better mindset. What creates the mindset is the heart set. That's the efficient way. So I'm always learning, I'm always growing, and I'm always a student.
Absolutely. My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Alana Pratt. She's the author of Finding the One is BS. Becoming the One is Brilliant and Beautiful. Alana, please tell our listeners where they can get your books and your new app. Talk about the new app and your website and your podcast.
Oh, thank you. I remembered the fifth book. Hang on. Scoring a Relationship. Turning Gifts into Experiences She'll Never Forget. So anyways, thank goodness my brain's still working. Yes, so my site, alanapratt.com. You can go there for all of the books. You can also find them on Amazon. And if you go to heartmates.app, this is my dating app where we become the one to find the one. It's an intimacy training and a dating app all rolled into one. And it's inclusive of all different genders, sexual orientation, colors of skin, ages. This is one big love puddle where we grow together and practice opening our heart so that we can not only become the one to find the one, but keep the one.
And of course, your books are available wherever wonderful books are sold, right?
That's right. Definitely all over Amazon as well. Yes.
Alana. And we'll be back with more of Alana Pratt after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
He was the heart of your family, and he taught you our history. He helped you fix your first flat. He was the best backyard DJ around. And every time he'd tell a story, he'd own the room. But now more than ever, he may feel alone. Today, older adults and their loved ones are struggling to connect in a time when connection has never been more important. But there is something we can do. Embrace our older loved ones through StoryCorps Connect. With StoryCorps Connect, you can honor seniors remotely with an interview about their life. Every interview will be archived at the Library of Congress, becoming part of American history, so that years from now, future generations can listen in.
All right, Grandpa, what's one piece of advice you have for me?
Just three words, sweetheart. Live with courage.
The man that had the best stories still has plenty of stories to tell. So connect virtually and share the conversation of a lifetime at StoryCorpsConnect.org/AARP. Connect, honor, share. StoryCorps Connect. A message from AARP, StoryCorps, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Alana Pratt. She's the author of Finding the One is BS, Becoming the One is Brilliant and Beautiful. Alana, couples had issues long before the current pandemic crisis. What was the recurring theme in most of these difficult relationships?
Thank you. Yeah, it's about the inability or lack of practice of being able to keep your heart open for those tough conversations. Everybody's able to get along when they're not triggered. They use the best part of their brain, their prefrontal cortex. They're able to listen to their intuition. Things are great. As soon as something happens that makes you feel mad or scared or triggers a time when you were very abused or sad, the brain only gives us 5 seconds to stay present. And if we don't do different behaviors, which I'm happy to share about, within 5 seconds, we go back into that reptilian brain, fight or flight or freeze. And that's when we hit below the belt. That's when we see red and we say things we can't imagine we just said. And that's when we can't take it back. And it's very difficult to make up for the damage done when we've really abused or hurt our partner so deeply. And so that's what they would come to me for, Victor, is they were each in their own corner. It wasn't safe to open their hearts. It wasn't safe to dive in and have those tough conversations. So then they didn't have that conversation anymore. And then the next weekend they had a fight about something else. So they don't have they don't talk about that anymore. And then all of a sudden they're not talking about anything. And there's no more depth and no more meaning to the whole relationship. And they become roommates, roommates that do that passive aggressive thing every so often, roommates that stop spending time with one another, and the contempt begins and the respect goes down. So this is the painful place a lot of couples come to me in.
And so they're roommates right now, but before COVID-19, they had the ability to go elsewhere and have time alone and separate themselves. But in the midst of COVID-19, especially in dense population areas, many couples and families have been virtually locked in their homes. How does this closeness trigger issues that may have been under the surface?
Yes, well, there's no escape. The way they breathe starts to piss you off, right? So you can't escape, as you said, just to go for a walk or spend time at work or with other friends. That sort of takes the pressure off. Now, on the one hand, yes, this has made far more divorce cases, a lot more fights, heaven forbid, a lot more child abuse. So there's definitely the negative side to this. And yet I'd like to present the opposite point of view as well, is this is the fire that most of us have been avoiding facing and feeling and moving through to the other side. So this obstacle, this challenge is actually such a gift for couples if they can be guided in a healthy way to have those conversations that they've just never known how to have with themselves and with each other. And one of the first places to start is to notice, am I looking, just like I told my story with my first husband or second husband, I was looking for my safety outside of me. Literally, Victor, yesterday, I've been working with a couple for about a year. We've been having a lot of great breakthroughs, but yesterday was magnificent. They finally really, really got, and that they would blame each other and they had all these reasons and they had facts to back it up and all the rest of it. But the gentleman was seeking his peace in her behavior. Well, she's not very consistent. She never does. It's all she. And then the opposite for her, she was looking for her safety in him. Well, how am I supposed to feel safe if he does this and he does that? It's the exact same issue that I was dealing with that they were dealing with. And so when I finally took them through, okay, what if, for the gentleman, his peace was his own job. Just like we look to someone else to make us happy, you know, happiness is our own job. What if our own inner safety, our own inner peace and security is our own job? And we take the other one off the hook, and then we come from fullness back towards each other with a full heart and an open heart. All of a sudden, that literally raises our vibration. The literal measurable coherence of our heart rises from like low contempt and blame into compassion and empathy. And then love is birthed and kindness. And you can be curious and you can come back together with appreciation that, oh my God, you who I've blamed for everything are actually my greatest spiritual teacher that woke me up out of an old pattern. And I'm now the embodiment of safety itself. I'm the embodiment of peace itself. And it's all because of you. Thank you. It's just gorgeous to watch where this couple has got to since they've been able to see the gift in the discomfort, lean in, and stop blaming and cultivate that inner relationship with themselves.
We're going to touch on the 5 top mistakes that you discuss in Finding the One is BS. But before we do that, why is it so difficult, in your opinion, for most people to really take responsibility for their own lives?
The ego doesn't like it. It's very, very boring for the ego. You don't get to win. You don't get to be right. You don't get this, I conquered. I triumph. You don't get any of that. It's very much about humility and like a very silent or quiet dignity. It's a very spiritual level of maturity. So I think that's why a lot of people don't want to take full responsibility. It's sort of like a wah-wah. It's very quiet. But it's very beautiful and it's very pure and very whole. But it takes a lot to finally put down your shield, your sword, and just to open your heart and say, I give. Love is more important than being right.
Yeah. Yeah, Brian Tracy, and I'm going to paraphrase him, said something to the effect that we cannot always control what happens to us, but we can control our reaction to it.
100%. 100%. Yeah, we are in charge. A lot of us, I give the analogy of the chariot and the, you know, the reins to the chariot. Most of us have gotten out of the chariot. We're sitting on the ground having a temper tantrum, pointing our finger and blaming someone else. And, you know, it doesn't work. And when you're really ready to go, okay, the only one in common here is me. I'm willing to take 100%, not waiting around for you to take 50 while I take 50. No, I'm willing to take 100% responsibility that I'm in charge of my life. I'm the creator of my reality. Get back in that chariot and pick up the reins and drive it where you want to go and create the life that you choose. And then hopefully, and maybe not even hopefully, I don't even think there's things wrong when couples come to me and their sacred contract is over. While I had that beautiful moment with a couple yesterday, I have a call coming up this weekend with a couple that we've decided their sacred contract is over. That when they got married 10 years ago, they didn't have any of the big conversations about money, about sex, about how they choose to, each of them, follow their purpose. They just thought, oh, what do we do now? Get married, you'll do. And they're lovely people, but they've made each other so wrong and blamed each other so much when all that we've come to is that they're complete. And they actually do like each other, and they actually do respect each other as parents, but they don't awaken anything within each other as souls. They're not two wholes coming together where the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And now we're able to kindly, consciously uncouple, and I'm really grateful for their bravery, because the kids aren't going to have to put up with all those fights anymore. So it's not even a wrongness if you decide that your sacred contract is over. What's the main thing is to slow down and feel what the truth is and speak to each other with an open heart.
In your opinion, do soulmates really exist?
I do believe that in the past there was like role mates, like marry for church, state, money, kids, that kind of thing. And then I think we did evolve into soulmates. You know, you complete me, all of that, like, chemistry and all the rest of it. I think it's a step in the right direction. It's certainly better than just marrying for church or state. But there's more to two empties coming together as a whole is fundamentally flawed, in my opinion. And we often forget about our friends. We forget about our purpose. We just make it all about the other, and it's imbalanced. I think the next level is a whole mate, or what I like to call a heart mate, where it's two whole people, not perfect, but two whole people, where the whole, as I said, is greater than the sum of the parts, where we don't need each other. We choose each other. I think soulmate relationships are really there for growth, where you attract your wound, you attract your shadow, and it's quite intense, but it's for growth. But I think there's something even more mature that we're moving towards.
Your new book is called Finding the One is BS, Become the One is Brilliant and Beautiful. What inspired this book?
All of my hot mess. So I was so determined that, like, I literally would feel this sense of anxiety and spinning, and I wouldn't breathe deeply, and I was still like on edge until I found the one, and then I would rest, but not really, just for a second, because now I got to keep the one. Okay, well, what do I need to lie about? What do I need to say? Like, all of these strategies to try to clasp on and desperately keep the one. And of course, that pushes love away. And so now when we become the one, and I say brilliant and beautiful because we're all so uniquely brilliant and beautiful when we are our authentic self, that is fun to be ourselves, because we find the safety and the approval and the aliveness on the inside. And then we radiate our authentic nature out, which is like a beacon to attract our ideal partner. Or even if you're in a relationship, still waiting around for the other one to make you happy, when you let them off the hook and your happiness itself radiating from your unique home on the inside, you're quite attractive to your partner. It's a lot better than the nagging you or the blaming you. And so they tend to be awakened in your presence and reminded why you fell in love in the first place.
Absolutely. Now, you say there are five top mistakes that can destroy a conscious relationship. You basically touched upon this one before, but let's recap this one. The first is you need them. What is the mistake and what are your solutions?
Yeah, so we need them to be happy, to be confident, to be enough, seeking your worth in another's approval or their attention. And as we've said before many times, this clearly doesn't work. And what does work is to become the one to find the one. So what does that even mean? It's, can I come home and love my wobbly parts as much as my triumphant parts? Can I actually unconditionally, without condition, never lean away from myself and always lean in and grab that little you inside who needs to be heard, needs to be listened to, and needs to be loved? And if we can do that, we are whole. We've become the one on the inside. I believe that gives us a moment of oneness with the universe. And then from no agenda, no strategy, just presence, hi, hi, we can just be ourselves with our partner.
Absolutely. The second of this top five relationship hit parade is you wait for Mr. or Mrs. Trustworthy. Why does this backfire, and who should we put our trust in?
I love this because, you know, when we get hurt, and all of us have been hurt on some level, and then we say, I'm never going to get hurt again, and I'm going to wait around for my partner or whoever I'm looking to date to be perfect so that I'll never get hurt again. But that is actually a resistance. And your fear often attracts the worst nightmare, the worst case scenario. You get hurt again because you're actually being fear. You're focusing on fear. So this is what I believe. The only one we can actually trust is ourself. And how do we trust ourself? Is we, with an open heart, then we can hear our intuition. We can hear our instincts. And we can trust that even though they might, you know, be tall, dark, and handsome or super gorgeous or whatever, if our gut and our instincts are like, something's off, we can listen to that. And then we can just trust people to be who they are from our presence, from our awareness, from our discernment. We can literally see all the red flags we need to see. Nobody's perfect. And we can see, is this actually for me or against me? Is this relationship truly a contribution? And then we can also give them grace. They're not perfect. You're not perfect. You know, you can forgive them. You can make up and own your own mistakes and make up for the damage done.
Absolutely. The third mistake makes me cringe as I read it. Hitting below the belt. Ouch.
Right?
What happens during this knee-jerk reaction? How can it be avoided?
Yeah, well, as I said, we've got 5 seconds, people, from when you get triggered to leave your prefrontal cortex, which is where you can maybe be more creative, where you can not justify or blame, where you can receive, you know, constructive feedback, etc. You got 5 seconds before the back part of your brain, the fight, flight, or freeze is going to kill before you get killed. And yeah, that's when we do hit below the belt. We say something that we know is going to hurt. And then we're so ashamed and so guilty of what we just said. And we feel out of control. And it's literally because a different part of our brain is operating. So one quick little solution is, if you start to get triggered, I like to visualize little you inside your heart and go, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I got you, little guy or little gal. No matter what happens right now, I will never leave you. And so it's emotion, the feeling of having your own back. It's the image of seeing little you. It's the thought, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I got this. And then the body sensation, just breathe, open your chest, open your heart, and stay present with your partner. That'll help you to not get triggered and stay present. Now, if you're past the 5 seconds and you have enough awareness, leave, go have a timeout, go for a walk around the block. Say, I love you, I'm not leaving you, I just need to calm down and excuse yourself. Or if you're the partner receiving the trigger, before things get even worse, you can say, look, I love you. I'm just going to go for a walk. And when I come back, I know we'll both be more calm. And then leave. Because if we stay in a fight when the hitting below the belt has happened, that's when we say so many things that we can never take back.
Absolutely. Diffusing is so important. Yes. Fourth on the list is you become a know-it-all. What should we know and why?
It's like, no, don't try to know it all. If anything, be more of a humble student. What I find when we get afraid, COVID has made us afraid. Like, a lot of us have lost our jobs, or when are we ever going to be able to have a normal life? Like, will it ever return? Fear. So we close our heart in fear and we go up into our head. And when we're only in our head, that's where we're like, yeah, I know, I know. We don't actually listen. We're like, yeah, I read Eckhart Tolle, I got this, right? We stop being a student of life, we stop being curious about our partner, and we can't really have, or the partner can't have those experiences of being safe and seen and understood, because you've already checked out you already have your response ready for whatever they're going to say. You're actually not there because you already know. So that's what I mean by don't be a know-it-all and be a little more humble, be more of a student of life. Remember that plants need watering, so do relationships. So get curious, ask questions, make a date night where you ask questions about, tell me something you want me to understand that you think I may not understand fully. And when they respond, just say thank you. Don't say, well, yeah, I know that. Just zip it and just say thank you. Make it safe to express with each other by simply saying thank you.
And we're going to save number 5 for the next segment. My guest is Alana Pratt. She's the author of Finding the One is BS, Becoming the One is Brilliant and Beautiful. We'll be back after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Vox Novus expands the horizons of Destination Unlimited, providing a platform for popular culture, lifestyles, interfaith spirituality, personal empowerment, environmental concerns, inspiration, and so much more. Each week, I will present authors and experts who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate this rapidly changing world. Join me, Victor the Voice Furman, each Thursday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio and listen to the Vox Novus, the new voice.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
On Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Alana Pratt. We're talking about her book, Finding the One is BS, Becoming the One is Brilliant and Beautiful. So we talked about the top 4 on the Destroy Your Relationship list. We're going to look at now number 5, and the top 5 mistake is you hide your truth. When you do that, who's being deceived?
Everyone. Such a great question. Yeah, remember how I was giving that example before, like you have a fight and the next weekend you don't want to fight again, so you don't talk about that. And then you have another fight about something else. Oh, now that's off the table. And before you know it, we really begin to hide our truth. Maybe we're afraid if we speak up, the fight will happen, or maybe they'll reject us, or they'll stop respecting us, or they'll pull away sex, or they'll pull away conversations, and things will get worse. So we just pretend we're happy when we're not. We just say, yeah, when we really mean no. We're like, sure, let's go for a run when you hate running. Or it could even be, wanting to have another child. And you say, sure, let's have another child when you really actually don't want another child. It can be a very deep, meaningful withholding of truth that has a lot of consequences to a little baby coming in the world and not really being chosen. So we really want to go, okay, first I need to listen to myself. So I need to make time to slow down and listen to my truth. 2, I need to listen to my body's wisdom. Like when that sad comes up, or that scared comes up, or that shame comes up, lean in. Find that little you inside that needs a hug, not a bash over the head with a 2x4. Listen to this part of you. Let it speak. We can also say, listen to your heart's whisper. There's a knowing. We know before we think. There's a lot of scientific proof that people have been hooked up to different nodes in their brain and in their hearts, that the heart knows way before the brain figures anything out. So listen to that heart's whisper. honor it, give it validity, give it space, give it listening. So that would be like step one. Step two is then to create that safe space with your partner where it's okay to agree to disagree. We don't have to agree on everything. But what if we could actually have the first job is understand, not agree? What if we started to have conversations on a weekly basis where we were seeking understanding, where we were recreating the sense of safety and connection between the two of us, where it was okay just to be honest and raw and transparent and vulnerable. And the other person would say, wow, I hear you. Tell me more. I got you.
Absolutely. What an amazing thing.
Right? It's exquisite. That's what we're, I believe, really aching for at the bottom of it all. And overall, the gift that COVID gives us. Yes, it's uncomfortable. The path can be uncomfortable before we get there. But this is the kind of nourishing, exquisite communication that can happen. And then you go, oh my God, communication really is the relationship. When communication dies, so does the relationship. And I'm at choice here. I can change this. I can invite my partner into this deeper conversation, and I can practice this deeper conversation with myself and with the divine.
And we want to be able to sacredly listen and receive the information, because as the wise one once said, we have two ears and one mouth. Listen twice, speak once.
Nice. Very nice. Yes, I agree.
What do you say to someone who says, I'm never going to find the one, or the woman who says, there are no good men out there?
Yeah, I say, what do you love about thinking about that? I don't try to argue. I don't try to like give them some different point of view and try to outsmart their mind. I ask them, what do you love about thinking that? What do you love about believing that? We're like, well, it's true. I go, but look a little deeper. So for example, if there's no good men out there, what do you love about believing that? Well, if you believe that, you'll never take an action to meet someone. You'll never open your heart. And you'll never risk getting hurt. You'll never have to be vulnerable. You get to be alone and right. So you love being alone and right. No, well, maybe actually I'm terrified of being hurt again. Got it. And then within 2 minutes, they're crying and I got them. And then I say, oh, so tell me about that. And then we get to integrate, process, and heal those wounds that are leading to those negative beliefs. I don't just try to do 10 more affirmations on top of the negative belief. I call that sprinkles on top of an ice cream cone of crap. It doesn't work. But if you can get up under and let it be okay that there is this buried emotion, and we all know that we can't create or destroy energy. We can change it, though. We can be alchemists. So I hold space and take them through these quantum psychology processes for that fear of being hurt again, or that real owie that's never been processed, and get them through to the other side, back to presence, back to grace, which is also another way of saying choice. You know, I'm an allowance of what was. Yes, I'm sure that my partner, my ideal partner, will be awesome, but there's probably one day that they're going to do something unconsciously that's going to hurt, and I'm no longer going to wait for that perfect person to open my heart. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to learn how to be with myself. In my coaching sessions, I'm going to learn how to be with little you in my own journaling and meditation time. And I'm going to learn when I'm with my new beloved, when they do something from time to time that just irks me, triggers me, or even really hurts, I'm going to breathe. I'm going to keep my heart open to myself and to my partner. We're going to lean into this conflict, and we're going to be stronger on the other side.
Absolutely. My wife and I met in our mid to late 40s, and my beloved, who writes romance novels, calls this a seasoned romance. What seasonings would you offer to older couples to spice up their relationships?
Oh my goodness, I feel old now. I'm 50. If you guys met in your mid 40s, but this is great. I believe that our sensuality and sexuality gets more free and self-expressed as we get older if we do the work to love who we are and who we're not. In fact, another one of my clients, I just spoke with her yesterday, and the update is she has met somebody amazing, and they're in their mid-60s, and she's having more sex in her mid-60s than she had in her 50s or 40s or maybe even 30s, because she's free. This is me. No more apology. No more trying to be somebody she's not. No more justifying or making up reasons or worried about any of that. She's free. He's free. It's really gorgeous to watch how enamored they are with each other and how fully expressed. So I say really what spices up a relationship is more about doing the work to come to terms with your stretch marks. Or, okay, I have ED from time to time. What are we going to do about that? Like healing the shame. And just, this is a divine temple. And yes, there's hairs growing out of new places that didn't happen back in my 20s or 30s. So some humor and some honesty and a real safe, honest place just to talk about what turns you on and to talk about how do you like to be loved, not just physically, but verbally or gifts, you know, the love languages, or even just slowing down and say, you know what, how I like to be loved is when you put your hand on my cheek and you just keep it there. And it doesn't mean necessarily I need to like now go to bed and have sex. I just know this moment is complete in and of itself. Just keep your hand on my cheek and just make eye contact with me till I exhale 3 or 4 times and then exhale deeper and exhale deeper. Like to communicate this, to even first know this, that that's how you like to be loved, and then communicate it with one another. To me, that's hot. That's safe. That's delicious. And it's a space for us then to communicate even more energy and invitation to our partner.
Absolutely. Listen, my wife and I have been together for 21 years, and I can tell you life really begins at 50, so don't worry about 50.
Good to hear, because I have a lot of love to give.
the most joy we've had in our lives together collectively has been since, you know, we got together in our late 40s, so it's been wonderful. What are some of the ways that conscious couples may improve their communication?
Definitely dyad date night. Dyad is what I was referring to before when you ask a question and all you get to say is thank you after. I had a relationship once where we did this every single Sunday night, 40 minutes. And my goodness, I think we had like 10 years of growth within 1 year because we made such a sacred space every time. So no elephants ever gathered in the living room because we talked about it every single week. So the structure of a dyad, and this is in my, it's in the book, Finding the One is BS. And what you basically do for the first 5 minutes is you tell each other what you like about each other. And so I really like your smile. And the other person would say, thank you. I really like your meatloaf. Thank you. Right. So just 5 minutes back and forth. This opens the heart with affinity. The next 5 minutes is tell me something you think we align on. A lot of couples will fight or get scared and then go on opposite teams. But when you're reminded every single week and you feed what we're on the same team about, it really helps when there's some things that we have to agree to disagree on. So that's, again, 5 minutes back and forth. And all you say is thank you. And you really learn, oh, yeah, we agree on this. We're aligned on that. And then the third question changes every single week. And it could be as of what I mentioned before, tell me something you want me to understand that you think I may not understand. It could go really deep, like tell me something you're afraid to tell me. It could be kind of sexy. Tell me something about you and oral sex. It could be something broaching a topic, you know, tell me something about you and our kid who's in the detox center right now. It could be around money. You know, tell me something about you and how you'd like to manage our retirement. So you could talk about anything, and it's a safe way to talk about it because the rule is all you get to say is thank you. No rebuttals and yeah, we talked about this before and last time you blah, blah, blah. There's no space for that. It's sacred. And the last rule about these dyads, dyad date night that would happen once a week is you don't get to use this as ammunition in a fight later. This is sacred ground. This is real, vulnerable, honest, brave, courageous, fiercely loving communication that is going to grow your connection, grow your intimacy, grow your trust, grow your respect. It's how we water the plant.
Please tell us about your brand new app, Heartmates.
Oh, thank you. I am up to my eyeballs in bugs. We're in the beta stage. So I was up at 7 a.m. this morning, Victor, with India. I'm up at 7 a.m. most mornings, but it's okay. This is just, you know, the only way through is through. So it's called Heartmates. You can find it at heartmates.app. And it's about my intimacy training. So it's an online digital program for a year. It's the dating app. And it's also weekly live Zoom calls where you practice communicating. Because communication, as I've said, is the relationship. But a lot of times when we, oh my God, I have a date, we stop being ourselves. And so if we practice communicating, doing all the inner work to heal in the curriculum, but also practice communicating with people of conscious, like-minded, like-heartedness, by the time we get in front of someone we really like, we're a lot more, we will be ourselves. There's a lot better chance we're going to be authentic and be ourselves. So this is the dating app that I've really created in as a response to the complaints of my clients of all ages, 20s, 30s, 40s, all the way up to 70s, who are like, hey, I meet somebody great. It's a couple weeks or 3 months, and then that first tough conversation comes and they disappear. And I'm devastated, and I'm really close to giving up on love. Where are the conscious people, Alana, who sit in the fire, who lean in like you teach us, who are on our group calls, and who tell the truth? Well, sometimes they fall in love, actually, in my group calls. Stephen and Mary Beth did, and they've been together for years. So sometimes I'm like, well, how can I make this bigger? How can I create a larger group of people who are in it to do the work to become the one? And so that's why I started the dating app.
Wonderful. Her book is called Finding the One is BS. Becoming the One is Brilliant and Beautiful. Alana Pratt, please tell our listeners one more time where they can find out more about you and this amazing work.
Oh, thank you. My website, alanapratt.com. It's with two L's, A-L-L-A-N-A-P-R-A-T-T.com. Also a podcast, Intimate Conversations, some delicious conversations there. My YouTube channel. I love to answer people's questions. All my books are on my site or on Amazon. And yes, if you're single, please come into this dating app at this time because there's so many amazing bonuses in the founder circle. A lot of fun we're having during the holidays, which tends to be a time when it's a little harder on single people to be alone.
Alana, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your experience and your wisdom.
Aw, thank you so much for having me. I have shivers on my arms right now, Victor. You're like soul family. I'm so honored. Thank you.
And I feel the same way. And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.